This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet. The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the Studio Gym, where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. We have a great show planned for you today. Two topics that are so opposite of each other that everyone will get something out of today's show. During the first hour, we'll be joined by Brooks Kubik, keeper of the flame of physical culture, which, by the way, Brooks, I've noticed that people are saying that about you, and it was started here on the show. I saw a blog post the other day where someone referred to you as keeper of the flame of physical culture.
That's pretty cool. I had no idea.
Yeah, so we've given you a moniker now. Anyway,
wow, look out.
Brooks Kubik is going to be talking about the building muscle mass the dinosaur way. This is part one of a three-part series. Each episode will build on what you've learned before so that you can keep progressing on building muscle mass. Then we're going to be joined by somebody who's been on the show before, Stephanie Seneff, and we're going to talk about the linkage between glyphosate or Roundup and autism. It's really interesting and scary at the same time, so you'll want to listen to that as well. So anyway, Brooks Kubik, a man who has his own Wikipedia page. I am jealous. I need a Wikipedia page, Brooks. How do I do that?
The basic thing is to tell the truth about physical culture, and you'll have enough people hate you that the haters will start a Wikipedia page to try to take you down.
I don't want that. I want people who like me to start my Wikipedia page. I don't think I've thick enough skin. I'm not a dinosaur. I'm not a dinosaur. Okay. So anyway, so this first series we're going to cover, is this a starting point or a beginner's course, the very, very first series on this? I guess it's more of a starting point, right?
It's a starting point for someone who's been training, training for a while. It's not a beginner's program. I think we've covered beginner's programs in other shows. If not, that's something we can certainly cover in the future. But this is for someone who's been training for a while and knows how to perform the basic exercises and is looking to take everything up to the next level. In other words, go from know how to train, you're getting some results, to getting really serious, really significant, big-time results. And that's what we're going to focus on.
Yeah. And so where do we start? Where do we start with all this?
Well, you start where you always start, which is articulating your goal. And, we're talking about building muscle mass, building dinosaur muscle mass.
Do we have to be body part specific here? Are we saying, okay, look, I have a lacking body part. Let's say my lats aren't wide enough. I want to add some beef to the barn door. Or my shoulders aren't big and round enough. I want to add some boulders to the shoulders. Do we have to be that finite? Or do we just say, look, I want to end up at the end of this three-phase process with 15 pounds of new muscle on my body, evenly distributed to all body parts?
The latter, except it's not going to be 15 pounds. It's going to be 20 pounds minimum.
Really?
That's the goal. Yeah. Yeah. 20 pounds. Nice round number. 15's not a round number.
Okay. So,
how about that?
So, okay. So I'm liking this. I'm into it. Okay.
Yeah.
So how do you design this program? Take us from the beginning. This is going to be a program you're going to detail for people, something that they can actually put into action. So this is exciting.
It's going to be what we're going to do is a step-by-step program, which will include detailed workouts. And we're going to cover, in the three episodes of the show, we're going to cover the first program, followed by next week a second program, which is more challenging, followed by the week after that a third program, which is going to be even more challenging. So it's a progressive series of programs. The goal, as I said, is over the course of working on those three programs, you're going to put on 20 pounds of muscle. And it's going to be really strong, powerful, athletically trained, functional muscle. Yeah, you're going to end up looking a whole lot better, but you're also going to be a whole lot stronger, a whole lot more athletic. You're going to look like an athlete. You're going to move like an athlete. And that's the goal of what we're doing. It's a very old school approach, a very old school way of doing and looking at things. If you go back, you look at the muscle mags from day one, 1930s, 40s, 50s, they were always talking about not just packing on muscle, not just building muscle mass, but building tremendous amounts of strength and enormously increasing your athletic ability, your overall athleticism, the functionality of your body at the very same time.
Okay. Wait, I want to jump in here because I'm thinking of myself. I'm being selfish here. So you're going to train me, actually, and everybody else will get something from it as well. Okay, so let's say I'm in the midst of a program. Let's say I'm in the midst of my normal training routine, which has no rhyme or reason, but this is the way I'm training. Do I need to take any time off before I start this muscle mass building program?
Well, it depends on your program and where you are. I mean, you know, if you're in something where you've been working really, really hard and you've pretty much maxed out on the program, then you might want to take a couple days off before you go on the other program. It's not necessary because program number one is going to start with, you know, actually some fairly light workouts. You're going to take it easy for a couple of weeks. You're going to learn some new exercises. You're going to learn a pace of working out. You're going to learn a way of training. And you need to take some time to do that, 2 or 3 weeks, and we'll ramp up to heavier and heavier training.
Okay. So let's say I'm ready to embark. What's program one going to look like?
Okay. Well, let me just give you a little bit of an outline of the program.
Okay.
It's an old-school program. We're going to be using barbells, dumbbells, and other free-weight equipment, squat stands, power rack, bench, that sort of thing. No machines. This is a zero-machine program. And I've been on the show lots of times before. I've talked about free weights versus machines. I think everybody from here to Outer Mongolia and back again, you know, knows where I stand on that.
So with that being the case, for a guy like me who is at a deficit in the bench press because of severe shoulder laxity, pain, call it what you want, I'm going to have to start out, leave my ego at home, and I'm going to have to start out as light as I have to start out, but I have to go free weight.
You have to go free weight.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Now, if you can't do bench press, then there are other alternatives, and we'll talk about that as
well. I probably would be better
forward.
Off with dumbbells, to be honest, because then I can get a little more neutral grip, but go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. So, it's barbells and dumbbells. No machines. We are not going to be doing a high-volume program. The typical thinking nowadays is that, or perhaps I should say the typical non-thinking, is that you need to follow some kind of super high-volume program as part of your hypertrophy training.
Right.
You know, hypertrophy training being a fancy term for building muscle or building muscle mass.
Right.
Now, it's absolutely amazing. If you go back and you look at what people were doing in the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, even in the 80s, the standard understanding of the way things worked was that you did low reps and medium reps for muscle mass, and you did high reps for definition. And the idea that you would do high rep training or high volume training for muscle mass, was something people would have looked at you and said, what are you talking about? Now, please note, I'm not talking, when I'm talking about high reps and low reps, I'm not talking about the 20-rep breathing squat program, which is a classic, old-school, weight-gaining, muscle mass-gaining program. That's a different critter. Don't get confused. What I'm talking about is a program where you do many, many sets of 8 to 10, 12, 15 reps, get a big pump and a huge volume, huge volume when you add everything up, lots of sets, lots of reps. That modern-day approach to building muscle mass is the 30- or 40-year approach to burning fat and getting definition. You know, we've gone full circle. And it's probably one reason why a lot of people who try to build significant amounts of muscle mass aren't getting the job done. They're not achieving what they want because they're actually using a program that's designed to take weight off the body as opposed to put weight on the body. So what we're going to be doing is the old school way of building muscle mass, which is multiple sets of low to medium reps. No high volume training.
So when you say low to medium reps, are we going to, a lot of people say anything below five is a waste of time when you're trying to build muscle mass. Would you concur with that, or do you think that that's nonsense?
Do people really say that?
Yeah, there's a guy at my gym who says, I don't do anything under five reps. If you're doing anything under five reps, you're just wasting your time.
Okay. So the strongest people in the world, Olympic weightlifters and powerlifters who do singles, doubles, triples, often no more than five reps, are wasting their time?
Well, when it comes to hypertrophy, all you surely want is a different size looking muscle as opposed to strength. That has been let's face it, that's, as you pointed out, there are people out there who think there's a quote-unquote hypertrophy approach, and there's people out there who say that hypertrophy does not beget strength. And strength approaches, which are the 1, 3, and 5 rep schemes, they get purely strength, but not hypertrophy. I've always been of the thought that you can't get one without the other, but I have seen big guys that are weak.
Well, yeah, and what I would say to your acquaintance at the gym is this. If you want to look like Tarzan and lift like Jane, and, you know, I apologize because I know we've got a lot of strong ladies who are listening to this, but that's the classic way of phrasing it.
Right.
If that's what you want, you know, that's fine. I mean, you know, if you want to look like a gorilla and be a wimp, that's fine.
Right.
Got to be totally blunt, but that's not what I'm talking about. And what I'm offering is a way of building a combination of muscle mass, strength, power, and athleticism. Now, why in the world would you settle for muscle mass alone?
Yeah.
When you can have everything.
Right. Right. No, I agree. I just wanted to differentiate that. Okay, so let's do this. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, Brooks is going to pick it up on the other side and start detailing program one for building muscle mass the dinosaur training way. In the meantime, visit his website, brookscubic.com. You'll find lots of great books there, articles. You won't necessarily find this training regimen. For that, you're going to have to listen to the show over the course of the next 3 weeks to get all three parts of it. So stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio, and Brooks and I will be back in a moment.
Dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
Summer's almost here. Are you ready to put on your bathing suit and hit the beach? Age Force can help. Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch for 1 month absolutely free. The Advanced 7 Keto and T2 formula with sustained time-release delivery make this the most potent and effective fat loss supplement, period. Try it for 30 days absolutely free and see for yourself. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force banner ad today. What do you have to lose other than body fat? Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch today. Absolutely free. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad now. At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
Toothpaste is loaded with toxic chemicals. That's why I use Aura MD. Aura MD is a natural dental care product that is made from botanical oils that promotes healthy oral microbiome while destroying dangerous bacteria that lead to oral health problems. It does not contain fluoride, detergents, surfactants, or any other chemicals. Best of all, it leaves your breath smelling so good, people will comment about it. Right now, you can get a buy one, get one free of Aura MD by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Aura MD banner ad. I won't ever use anything else but Aura MD, and neither should you.
Get a free jug of BCAA Extended Performance. That's a $26 freebie when you buy Muscle Gauge Nutrition's Intense, the safest, most effective pre-workout alternative to DMAA. Intense is designed to quickly boost focused energy in a great-tasting formula free of aspartame or ACE-K. Only half the caffeine of top-selling concentrated pre-workout formulas on the market. Intense delivers unparalleled mental focus and energy to power your workouts. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Intense banner ad and use coupon code SUPER. That's S-U-P-E-R.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. As many of you heard, we have a new peptide supplier. Check them out. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad to learn more. And we have a 20% discount when you use the coupon code SHR. So check that out too. Okay, Brooks Kubik, where shall we begin with our program design?
Well, very briefly, here's what we are going to do. We are going to focus on the big muscle groups. We're going to focus on building as much mass as possible and as much strength as possible into the entire back, and that includes the lats, the traps, the lower back, spinal erectors. We are going to build the legs and hips, and by legs and hips, we're primarily focusing on the hips and thighs. We're going to build the shoulder girdle, and we're going to build the chest, but really in conjunction with building the shoulder girdle. Now, that's the real focus. To get there, we're going to use basic compound exercises, nothing new, nothing high-tech, nothing fancy. We're not going to use secret exercises, you know, the ones that they show on YouTube videos where people are standing on roller skates on stability balls trying to perform one-legged squats or something. You know, we're not going to do any silliness like that. We're going to use the basics. And I apologize in advance for anyone who wanted some secret exercise, but you know what? The basics are best. They're the most effective, and in fact, I would say that they are brutally effective. Bottom line, they work. The trick is putting them together the right way, putting them into the right kind of workout to promote rapid gains in strength and muscle mass. And so you start by picking out of all the basic exercises that you can use to train the shoulders, the back, legs and hips, shoulder girdle, chest. Put them all together and pick the very best ones. So let's talk about doing that. And what that does is bring us to what I call the classic program for strength and muscle mass. And this is one that's been written up many times over the years. Bradley J. Steiner wrote about it in Perry Rader's old Iron Man magazine. Heck, I remember reading about it back in the early 70s. Great, great approach. And it starts with a form of exercise number one, some kind of stand on your feet overhead press. It can be a barbell press. It can be dumbbell presses. It can be a one dumbbell press. It can be simultaneous dumbbell presses, or it can be alternate dumbbell presses. Doesn't matter. It can be a strict military press, or if you prefer, it can be a push press. If you want, if you have shoulder problems, if you have access to what's called a log bar, my friend John Wood sells those, try that. That's often very easy on the shoulders.
A log bar, is that what they use in the strongman competitions?
No, but the strongman competition bar has a parallel grip.
Right.
And a log bar is a bar with specially designed handles. Dr. Ken Leisner developed it. Specially designed handles that let you press with a parallel grip.
We have one at my gym actually. Mm-hmm. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. They're getting more and more common, and a lot of people like them, particularly, as I said, if you have shoulder problems. They can be a real boon when you're doing any kind of presses, be it overhead presses or even bench presses. Very good for that. So you start the program with some kind of press. And you'll notice I'm not directing you to use one or the other. I'm not saying you have to do a standing military press. I'm not saying you have to do push presses. Not saying you have to do dumbbell presses. What I'm saying is, you're going to do a form of stand on your feet overhead pressing. And the reason that I'm letting the listener choose the exercise is that everybody has a favorite exercise. Everyone has something that feels best, someone that works best for their particular body. And the press is no different than any other exercise. You might find that you work a lot, you know, that because of an old injury, you're a lot more comfortable using dumbbells. Older lifters in particular often prefer some kind of dumbbell pressing as opposed to barbell pressing. But you choose the kind of exercise, the kind of pressing exercise that is going to work best for you, that you enjoy, that you know you're going to be able to work hard on, and that's going to be the first exercise in your program after your warm-ups. Presses. Now, some people may say, yeah, but you left off the best pressing exercise of all. Press behind neck.
Yeah, I don't like them.
Ugh. You know,
I think they're dangerous. I'm sorry.
They absolutely are. And, you know, when I was a kid growing up, a lot of people, and particularly, that included people who were, very highly regarded and people that I think have given great training advice. But in that particular area, the selection of that one exercise, press behind neck, dead wrong. What we've found over the years is that, you know, almost everyone, I know there are exceptions, but almost everyone who's done a whole lot of press behind neck over the years, man, they end up with sore shoulders.
Yeah.
Press behind neck just really wears away at the rotator cuff.
Well, when you know what?
You don't need
it's an unnatural movement. It's an
it
unnatural
is.
Movement. We were never designed to be pushing things up behind our necks. If we found ourselves in a position where we had to push something, it was to the front of us, at best overhead with our back tilted back. So it was kind of in front of us, even though it was above us.
So. Yeah, it's an awkward exercise and it's not necessary, and hence it's not on the list. I'm not recommending that you do press behind neck. Military press, push press, much preferable. As I said before, use barbells, use dumbbells. It's your choice.
What kind of rep ranges are we shooting for in this scenario?
We're going to be using the same sets and reps on virtually all of our exercises. We're going to do 5 times 5.
Okay.
5 sets, of 5 reps.
Well, now here's a good question, too. It actually comes from Paul, and he said this was for you. He says, when lifting weight at a 5 rep or less rep scheme, what percentage of your 1 rep max should you be shooting for?
Varies from person to person and lift to lift.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not percentages. Now, it's going to be somewhere in the 70 to 80% range for most people. Some people higher, some people lower.
And I would recommend that you start out lower and grow into the higher. Don't go for the high. Don't try to overshoot right from the get-go. What would you say?
Absolutely. Yeah. On all of the workouts that we're going to be talking about, I want people to start light, really light.
Right.
Take some easy workouts, build up what we call gaining momentum. But learn the exercises, learn the pace, learn the workout, and then start to add weight. The worst thing in the world that anybody can do is to start in on a new program, go gung-ho as hard and heavy as they can from day one. It's absolutely ridiculous and counterproductive. What you do is you start easy, maybe at 70% of what you could do. And I'm not talking 70% of one rep max. I'm talking about 70% of what you could do for whatever number of reps you're going to do. And then work up. I mean, you can work from 70% the first week, 80% the next week, 90% after that, and then 100%. And again, this is not 100% of your one rep max. It's 100% of what you can do for the required number of reps. So now you've taken basically a month to build up to the point where now you're really going to go gung-ho hard and heavy. And a month is not a long period of time at all. You know, you build up slowly, develop the movement patterns, make sure that you're in the groove. It's a time of exploration. Like, for example, you might decide you're going to start out doing military presses. And they might work fine at 70%, fine at 80%. And then that 90% week, you're starting to get a little bit of a tingle in the shoulder.
Right.
And, you know, you say to yourself, you know what, I think it'd be better if I did push presses in the program, or I think it'd be better if I did dumbbell presses or something. You know, so you use that first month as kind of an exploratory, make sure you have everything right period. And then you transition into the heavy stuff. And, I know that no matter how I stress that, people are not going to listen. They're going to jump in and they're going to go gung-ho, which is a huge problem.
That's the purpose of this being a three-part series. Part one is more about self-exploration, getting these movements down at a reasonable weight where you are not overextending or overreaching yet. There's going to be plenty of time for overreaching as this moves forward. Right now, it's about becoming acclimated, okay? It's like when you first went to school, they not only taught you how to write, but they taught you how to sharpen your pencil and how to put your lunch bag back away. It's all that stuff at this point in time. This is kind of like remedial. Don't go into the gym looking to set PRs. There's going to be plenty of PR opportunities as this program progresses. Isn't that a fair statement, Brooke?
Absolutely, absolutely. That perfectly said.
Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to go to the next movement in the program. You're listening to Brooks Cubic. Visit his website, Brooks Cubic, KUBIK.com. We'll be right back.
Come on. Put your palms together now.
You train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometimes pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rub Kinetocream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away, not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetocream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetocream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com.
Power Block dumbbells can replace up to 55 pairs of dumbbells in the space of just one pair, and they come in all sizes to meet the needs of all lifters, as small as 2.5 to 20 pounds per hand, all the way up to 175 pounds per hand, and everything in between. between. Check out the new Power Block barbells that turn your Power Block dumbbells into barbells in seconds, replacing up to 45 barbells. Or try the new kettlebell handle to convert Power Block dumbbells to kettlebells. Call 800-651-1937 or click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com for a free brochure.
People who want the best whey protein in the world turn to WhayNaturalUSA.com. Whey Natural USA produces the only whey protein from grass pasture-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. Whey Natural USA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. Just pure grass pasture-fed whey in all its natural glory. Go to WhayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. Whey Natural USA. You basically live life thanks to vitamin D. It affects every type of cell and tissue in your body. This is the reason optimizing your vitamin D blood level is essential for healthy living. The most efficient way to optimize your blood level is to take the perfect dose. And the most cost-effective way to determine the perfect dose is through vitamin D blood testing. The vitamin D test for Superhuman Radio is only $30, $17 cheaper than the lowest member price. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad to order.
Electronic muscle stimulation is state-of-the-art for pain management and muscle recovery. Now from ABC Medical comes the Pain Pod. Pain Pod is a professional strength EMS unit and provides 12 therapeutic modes and 20 intensity settings. It comes with everything you need. Small, convenient, rechargeable, and portable. But make no mistake, Pain Pod delivers commercial-grade strength for immediate pain relief. The Pain Pod normally sells for $349, but for a limited time, the Superhuman Nation can get the Pain Pod for only $200, including shipping. Pain Pod comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Pain Pod banner ad today to learn more.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Mr. Bombastic.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Later we'll be joined by Dr. Stephanie Seneff when we talk about the linkage between glyphosate or the trade name Roundup. Herbicide and autism. Okay, Brooks Kubik, take us to the next movement.
Okay. The second exercise in the program is going to be the squat. Your basic exercise for leg and hip strength and total all around, body strength, and triggering gains and muscle mass really throughout the entire body. So the squat's a biggie. Now, again, you're going to do the 5x5. And when I say squats, let me be real clear. You can do back squats or you can do front squats. You can do power style squats or you can do high bar Olympic style squats. You can do parallel, top of thigh to parallel at the bottom of each rep, or you can do full. Now, which you do is going to depend on what you've done in the past, any pre-existing injuries or dings and dents, as I call them, and how flexible you are. You're not going to be able to do full squats, and quite likely you're not going to be able to do front squats unless you work on your flexibility. And you're not going to be able to change from doing powerlifting-style squats to high-bar Olympic-style squats without a break-in period where you work on your flexibility. You're also not going to be able to do correct form front squats or correct form Olympic style high bar squats unless you're wearing Olympic weightlifting shoes with a heel. You just can't do them flat footed. And I know you can stand on a 2x4, you can stand on barbell plates and so on, but that's a stopgap measure. I mean, if you're going to do Olympic style squats, front squats, you need Olympic weightlifting shoes with a built up heel. And that's all there is to it. People ask my personal preference, if you can do them, and again, if you can do them, if you have the flexibility to do them, and you're not going to have problems with your back rounding in the low position, I prefer full squats, and I prefer high bar Olympic-style squats. Front squat versus back squat, I think they're both great. It's really, you know, lifter's preference. On front squats, I'll note real quickly, if you don't have the flexibility in your wrists to perform a front squat with the bar resting on the fingertips the way an Olympic weightlifter would do it, you can put straps on the bar and raise the elbows up. You're holding the straps in your hand, and that's how you hold on to it.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Schmitz, three-time coach of the U.S. Olympic weightlifting team, advocates that for people who are trying to learn how to do front squats. Works better than the crossed hand version of the movement for front squats, and that's something worth looking into. But again, squat is something where it's a very, very valuable exercise, probably the most important exercise that you can do, but you have to find a variation that is going to work for you and your body. So do a little bit of thinking, and again, start light and build up heavier. Take 3 to 4 weeks to build up. Make sure you've got the movement pattern down before you try to go heavy. The other thing I should note, Carl, have you ever had Dave Draper on the show? Or
no, Dave. I've tried getting Dave on the show, but he doesn't do interviews any longer.
Okay. Well, regardless of that, he's got a great product. It's the Top Squat, which is a really, really nice product for anybody who's got shoulder problems. And again, older trainees will find this a godsend. It helps position the bar, making it very, very easy on the shoulder joint, rotator cuff, for heavy squatting. And if you have any kind of shoulder problem and it's inhibiting your ability to do squats, you might want to check that product out. It's a good product.
Okay.
So squats are the second exercise in the program. Third exercise is probably, I won't say everyone's favorite, but you know, quite a bit of people will find this to be one of their favorites. It's your basic barbell bench press or the incline press, whichever you prefer. And everybody likes the barbell bench press, the incline press. You know, it's a basic upper body mass and power exercise. Builds a lot of strength in the upper body and the shoulder girdle, and particularly when you're working in combination with the overhead pressing that we talked about earlier. You mentioned, Carl, that you know you've got some shoulder issues which make bench pressing a challenge.
Right.
Okay. If that's the case, and if changing your grip from wide to narrow, changing your elbow position doesn't work, you might want to try the incline press. The angle of the incline might be something to play with to find a range of movement that feels good for you. And you also might want to try dumbbells.
Dumbbells I can do. I know that for sure.
Yeah. And, you know, if you train alone, if you don't have a spotter, if you don't have a power rack or something to catch the bar if you miss, you definitely want to be doing dumbbell bench press or dumbbell incline press. And if you're so strong in the pressing movements that you're handling more weight, let's say on a dumbbell incline press, than you can actually get up in position, easy way around that, do a one-arm, one-dumbbell bench press or a one-arm, one-dumbbell incline press.
Hmm.
Take two hands to lift the dumbbell into position. You do the right hand first. When you're done with your set, lower it, rest a little bit, then take two hands, lift into position for the left hand, do the left hand, and so on. Real, real interesting way of working the chest. And actually, some people think it's a better exercise than the two dumbbell variation because you get a lot of balance and stability issues going. So,
yeah, interesting.
Yeah, interesting, and a good one for folks who train at home.
All right, do we want to take an early break now and come back and cover the last two movements, and then also discuss how to execute a proper 5x5 program?
Sure.
Okay,
sure.
So let's do this. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to cover the next two movements in this mass building program. For those of you who feel uncomfortable about experimenting with some of these movements that you're not doing now, perhaps, or just the idea of going away from machine weights to exclusively free weight, remember, this is a beginning period. You don't have to prove any points. Use weight that you feel comfortable using. Focus more on form. Leave the ego at home. Okay? Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Fix your picture.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
New from Rob Riggish, author of The Blueprint and SHR's own Blueprint Power Hour, comes the Blueprint Bulletin. Every month, Rob delivers the absolute latest and greatest information right to your inbox. Everything's on the table, including training, diet, supplementation, gray market products, and more. This is a fantastic way to stay one step ahead of your competition and use these secrets to up your game. Go to theblueprintbulletin.com or click the Blueprint Bulletin banner ad on superhumanradio.com to get your free introductory issue. Go to the Blueprintbulletin.com today.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Iron Mag Labs is the leading supplement company offering the most hardcore pro-anabolic supplements. Visit IronMagLabs.com and check out our top-selling products. Asta RX, Halo Extreme, Sinustain RX, E-Control RX, Decadrol Max, Ultramale RX. Iron Mag Labs makes supplements that actually work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit Iron Mag Labs at IronMagLabs.com for the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Okay. So Brooks now devised the last two movements in this workout program.
Okay. Well, if people have been paying attention, I've been talking about training the back and the importance of training the back, but we haven't had any direct back exercises, so let's fix that. Exercise number four is going to be barbell bent over rowing or dumbbell bent over rowing or pull-ups, if you can do them, or pull-downs. Pull-ups, pull-downs, do them to the chest. Don't do them behind the neck. Behind the neck pull-up, behind the neck pull-down, real, real hard on the shoulders. I like to do them not with a curl grip, in other words, palms facing, but palms facing away, as in a pull-up movement, as opposed to a chin-up movement. Some people prefer it the other way. I'm not going to argue about that. But the point is, you're going to do some exercise where you're targeting those lat muscles, and you're trying to build a whole lot of strength and power and mass into the upper back, middle back. It's one of the keys to upper body mass is to build the upper back, build the lats. Everybody always focuses on the chest. That's because people look in the mirror, they forget that the foundation for a really massive upper body is the upper back. So you can do some kind of rowing or pull up or pull down. And the other exercise, exercise number 5, is a deadlifting exercise. Now, once again, you need to pick the movement. It can be bent-legged or stiff-legged. Stiff-legged deadlift, when you go heavy, does not work well for everybody. So if you know that it doesn't work for you or you think it might not, do the bent-legged version. You can do a regular bar or you can use the trap bar. I'm a big fan of the trap bar deadlift. I like the original trap bar as designed by engineer and powerlifting champion Al Girard. To my mind, that's far and away the best trap bar out there for anyone in North America. It's made in the USA, so you might want to look into it for that reason. But you're going to do a bent-legged or a stiff-legged deadlift, conventional barbell or trap bar, and again, on both the rowing or the pull-ups or the pull-downs, and on the deadlifting movement, you're going to do 5x5. Now, that brings us to the point of when we talk about 5x5, what are we talking about? There's a lot of different ways to do 5x5. People agonize about it. They worry about it. I think a lot of people go to, their priest or other father confessor, and they say, "Father, I have sinned. I have done the 5x5 wrong."
Let me give you something. Should I count my warm-ups as part of the 5 sets? I love that one.
Do I do 2 warm-up sets followed by 3 sets of 5? Or, you know, do I do 3 warm-up sets followed by 2 working sets? Or do I do 4 warm-up sets followed by 1 working set? People have flame wars on the internet about this and if they would go out and talk about it with baseball bats, they'd kill each other. It's absurd. And it's just words. Here's the deal on 5x5. If you are not that strong yet, you don't need as many warm-up sets to get to your working weight, and you can do more sets with your working weight because it's not imposing the kind of incredible systemic demands that a truly heavyweight is going to impose. So the people who are closer to beginner/intermediate status as opposed to advanced status probably will do perfectly well doing 2 progressively heavier warm-up sets followed by 3 working sets. And that's their variation of 5x5. Whereas someone who's significantly stronger, say someone who's handling 50 or 100 pounds more in the bench press for 5 reps than the beginner intermediate is handling, that person might do better by doing 3 progressively heavier warm-up sets and 2 working sets, or 4 progressively heavier warm-up sets and 1 working set. You see, people don't understand. As you get stronger, you actually cannot tolerate as many of those heavy sets.
Right.
And, if someone doesn't believe me, do this. Try a set of squats with 200 pounds for 5 reps. Compare that to 300 pounds for 5, or 400 pounds for 5, or 450, or 500 for 5. And I'll tell you what, the systemic demands of those really, really heavy, challenging sets of 5 reps are night and day, worlds apart removed from 200 pounds for 5 reps, or 185 pounds for 5 reps, or 135 for 5. Makes a world of difference. So that's part of what dictates which 5x5 program you're going to use. The other thing that dictates it is whether you do all 5 of the exercises in 1 workout, making it a total body workout, and you do that either 2 or 3 times a week, or whether you use a divided workout schedule where you might do press and squat one day, bench press, row, and deadlift the other days, so that you do 1 workout on Monday, another workout on Wednesday, you go back to the first workout on Friday, or you might do press and squat on Monday, bench press and row on Wednesday, and nothing but deadlift, but hard on the deadlift on Friday. Now, if you are using a total body program, it's going to be really difficult to do three working sets on each exercise. So your five times five method of choice is probably going to be four progressively heavier warm-up sets followed by one working set with your working weight in each exercise. On the other hand, if you were doing two exercises per workout, let's say, as in, you know, you're doing press and squat on Monday, then you can do more sets with your working weight. In other words, you can focus and go harder and heavier on each exercise. Which brings me to another point, and Carl, you alluded to this earlier, which is, do you include the working sets, or I'm sorry, the warm-up sets in five times five?
Right.
Yeah. Well, here's the deal. If you want to do two or three sets of five reps with your working weight, and your problem is it's going to take four or five progressively heavier warm-up sets to get there. For example, you might go 135 times 5, 225 times 5, 275 times 5, 315 times 5, and then your working sets are done with 350. Okay? Well, you know, obviously you're not going to go 135, 250, 350 because the jumps are too big. So if you need more of those progressively heavier warm-up sets, and your 5 times 5 turns into 7 times 5 or 8 times 5, right. You know what? That's fine.
As long as you're doing five working sets once you get there.
Well, you're not going to do five working sets necessarily. You may do one, you may do two, you may do three. The point is you're using the basic system of progressively heavier sets of five reps building up to either one working set or two or three. And you know, it's going to vary from person to person, and note this, it can vary from exercise to exercise.
Right.
Squats and deadlifts are much more systemically demanding than the other exercises in the program. And you may find that one working set of squats or one working set of deadlifts is all you can handle, all you need. That's fine.
Okay.
But you may find that presses, pull downs, rowing are not as demanding, and you may want to do more of those, and that's fine.
Okay, Brooks, let's summarize in the last 5 minutes here. The five movements are, recite them, please.
Okay, a form of stand on your feet overhead pressing, a form of squatting, a bench press or incline press, barbell or dumbbell, a lat exercise, which can be rowing, pull-ups, or pull-downs, and a form of deadlift. Those are your five exercises.
Okay. The rep and set scheme is a traditional 5x5, which is five sets of five reps.
That's right, okay. And you can adjust it as we've discussed.
The frequency of workout, since you are hitting your entire body each workout, how many times a week are you doing this?
If you hit your entire body in each workout, if you are squatting no more than your own body weight, you can train three times a week. If you're squatting more than your body weight, you may find that twice a week works better for you. If you're squatting significantly more than your body weight, like 150% or more for five reps, probably you want to use a divided workout program. In that case, you divide the five exercises into one workout on Monday, another workout on Wednesday, another on Friday, different exercises in each workout. Each exercise is worked once a week on that program. So it's going to vary depending on your strength level.
Okay. And how long should you do this program before you move on to part two, which we will cover in the next interview?
Okay. What you want to do is use the break-in building-up process that we discussed, where you take 3 to 4 weeks to learn the movements, learn the workout, learn the pace, learn the rhythm. Then you get into the hard and heavy stage. And you stay at the hard and heavy stage for as long as you can continue to add weight to the bar on a regular basis. Up to no more than 3 months. So it may be 4 weeks, it may be five, it may be six, it may be eight, it may be 10, it may be 12. The point is, you want a period of time where you are progressively adding small amounts of weight to the bar, 2.5 pounds a week, 5 pounds a week, depending on the exercise. You'll add more to squats and deadlifts than you will to the other movements. But as long as you're adding weight to the bar, stay with the program. And if that lasts for 3 months, great, then you're doing great.
Okay.
But, you know, if you find that things are stalling out and you're saying, I'm hitting a brick wall, no matter how hard I try, I can't get past it, that's the point where you move on to program number two.
Which we will
talk about next week.
Right, which we will detail next week. Mm-hmm. When we cover this further. And if you have any questions about this as we go along, we may even do a fourth interview, and I think it's worthy of us doing a fourth interview, to just cover some of the basics of nutrition for absolute growth. Some people would call this a bulking diet, but I think we have to cover that as well, because none of this is going to mean anything if you're not covering your bases nutritionally. You will not continue to get stronger. You will not continue to grow muscle. So we'll make that the fourth installment. How's that sound, Brooks?
That sounds great. And you know, as you just noted, we really encourage people to shoot questions in, and we will try to work them in, because this is a mini series, if you will. We'll work them in as we move forward, and try to answer as many of them as we can.
So go to send your emails to onair@superhumanradio.com, and if you'd be kind enough to put in the subject line the words Brooks, B-R-O-O-K-S, Kubik, K-U-B-I-K, I'll have a separate folder, so we'll get to those quickly. If you just send it to that, I have 4,000 unread emails in there right now. Send it, and make sure you put in the subject line Brooks Kubik, K-U-B-I-K, and I will tease those out and get those to Brooks immediately before the next installment. In the meantime, get your fill of dinosaur training by going to BrooksKubik, K-U-B-I-K.com today to learn more. Brooks, thanks so much for making time, and we will pick this up on the next interview.
Sounds good. Thanks, Carl.
All right, talk to you soon. All right, so stay tuned. When we come back, Dr. Stephanie Seneff will come on and talk about the linkage between Roundup, or its chemical component named glyphosate, and autism. Important discussion, especially since glyphosate has been found in the urine of people all over Europe and in umbilical cord blood of newborn babies recently. This is an important discussion. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Dumbbells can replace up to 55 pairs of dumbbells in the space of just one pair, and they come in all sizes to meet the needs of all lifters, as small as 2.5 to 20 pounds per hand, all the way up to 175 pounds per hand, and everything in between. Check out the new Power Block barbells that turn your Power Block dumbbells into barbells in seconds, replacing up to 45 barbells. Or try the new kettlebell handle to convert Power Block dumbbells to kettlebells. Call 800-651-1937 or click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com for a free brochure.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business. Get a free jug of
BCAA Extended Performance. That's a $26 freebie when you buy Muscle Gauge Nutrition's Intense, the safest, most effective pre-workout alternative to DMAA. Intense is designed to quickly boost focused energy in a great-tasting formula free of aspartame or ACE-K. Only half the caffeine of top-selling concentrated pre-workout formulas on the market. Intense delivers unparalleled mental focus and energy to power your workouts. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Intense banner ad and use coupon code SUPER. That's S-U-P-E-R.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
Welcome back. You know, I've been banging on the autism drum for some time now. Try to do as many shows about it as often as possible, because the new numbers are now 1 in 55 children. Ironically, in the Amish population, it's about 1 in 329 children estimated, because the Amish are very closed-mouthed about their lives and lifestyles. But autism is a terrible disorder, and it doesn't just hurt children. It hurts the entire families that are affected by it. My guest is a repeat guest, Dr. Stephanie Seneff. How you doing, Dr. Seneff?
Good morning. Good afternoon. I'm doing
well.
Great.
No, it's morning.
Here you're in Hawaii.
You're in Hawaii. And aren't you lucky? I wish I was there.
I love the weather. It's gorgeous. It's really lovely.
And we've had you on the show in the past talking about statin drugs. You are a research scientist, and you have set your sights on some new areas that have really been quite controversial. The discussion about glyphosate, also known as Roundup, which is a product produced by Monsanto, has been implicated in so many different disorders in this point, and including what, in my humble opinion, is one of the most scary, and that is the transgenerational epigenetic effects of germlines, that grandchildren of grandchildren of grandchildren are going to be affected by the stupid decisions we make today.
That's
which is
right.
Sad.
It's going to be very hard to get this out of our system.
Yes, and you know, so many people are still, you know, saying, "Hey, but we need to feed the world." Well, guess what? The world will be dead, and
just us too, but the microbes and the plants, everything. I mean, we're basically, you know, a killing machine in some sense with what we're doing.
So just how did you get on this track with the glyphosate and autism? Because there is a linkage, and we're going to discuss that.
Yes, it's an amazing linkage. I've been very, about 6 or 7 years ago, I became really determined to try to understand autism. I've always been interested in it, but I got really serious about it. I read everything I could find, and I had some theories. I mean, I built some theories based on what I discovered. I was at a point about a year ago, where I could see that autism was associated with some very interesting dysfunction besides the brain, which is major problems with the gut. I mean, digestive disorders, inflammatory gut, overgrowth of pathogens, and, you know, gluten intolerance, casein intolerance, and all of these things associated with autism. So that was one segment. And then the other one was sulfur. Sulfur-based metabolism was just really messed up. The metabolites, first of all, there was a shortage of sulfur.
Mm.
Sulfur is very, very important in the body, and people don't appreciate this. It's really, I believe, sulfur deficiency, and in particular sulfate deficiency, is a systemic problem in our society due to our life practices, including, of course, our nutritional aspects, and also the lack of sunlight exposure to the skin. This is
right.
A big thing that I talk about. it's very clear that autism is associated with insufficient sun. That actually shows up very well when you look at statistics on the 50 states. You can look at all kinds of measures of sun, and you'll see that.
So we come back, I mean, indirectly, we come back to some of the vitamin D discussion, too, because we become so sun-phobic.
Yes, that's really hurting.
But Dr. Seneff, I have to say something that my audience has heard me say before.
Yes.
And I want you to opine on this statement, please.
Okay.
Okay, so I don't think there's just one thing that's causing autism. I think that a child has an innate ability to cope with certain assaults on the body that are predisposed by the immune system. And some children come into the world with robust immune systems and others with frail immune systems. And it just becomes the toxin load on this child till the last straw hits them. And this child can't battle it and bang. So isn't autism...
Yes, I agree with you completely.
It's a perfect storm. I mean, autism is a perfect storm. We can't just go, oh, here's the silver bullet. We just do away with this. No, it's so many of these things that we've basically destroyed the land, the water, the food, and everything.
Yes, and of course, there's things like aluminum and mercury and lead, you know, all of these environmental toxins that are much more prevalent today in our, in the, you know, the way that we, for example, even sunscreen contains aluminum.
Now.
And aluminum is really nasty stuff. I've been doing a lot of study on aluminum. I've written papers on that. So I was looking at all these things, and I was finding everything. It was like everything I looked at, yes, that's the cause. So I was getting a big list, you know. But I still didn't have the core cause because I was stuck. And I wrote a paper on the gut bacteria, and I said, you know, they have these disrupted gut bacteria, and it causes this and that and the other, and that's how they get the brain dysfunction. You could tell the whole story, you know, about the formaldehyde and mm-hmm. the ammonia and how this gets into the brain and causes this epigenetic effect, and then the all the stuff, and the methionine gets messed up. I mean, it was a nice story. What I didn't have was what's causing the gut dysbiosis. I was frustrated in writing that paper. You know, if they have this, then I can explain everything. But why do they have this? That's what I didn't understand. Then I heard a talk given by Don Huber. This was an epiphany for me. This was really just a year ago. He's a retired professor from Purdue, and he's an expert on plant pathology, plant physiology. He's devoted his life to plants, and he's really deep into glyphosate, and he's been really campaigning. You can find a lot of stuff on the web on him, on the message that glyphosate is a much, much worse toxic chemical than we ever have imagined. And Monsanto has been misleading us into thinking that it's relatively harmless, and therefore it's not even regulated. You know, you can just go down to the hardware store and buy some and throw it on your lawn. I mean,
right.
It's scary, scary stuff. I mean, I think because this particular herbicide is considered to be so safe, its usage has skyrocketed.
Well, wait. We would be remiss if we didn't also say something else that has been admitted by Monsanto, both as an admission of a problem as well as the reason for greater profits right now. But in those croplands where they've been using glyphosate, because the weeds have gotten stronger, they must now douse these crops in 2, 3, 4 times more glyphosate than originally.
Right.
So and for those of you who think you can just wash this stuff off, it gets down into the root systems. And even though it only has a half-life in the soil of 2 or 3 days, it's then picked up in the root systems and added to the flesh of the fruit or the vegetables that you're eating. It's in there. You can't wash it off.
And its half-life is actually not 2 or 3 days. And especially because you mess up the bacteria that would break it down.
Oh.
It's actually surviving much longer than they're claiming. And it doesn't get broken down easily in our bodies. It gets broken down into AMPA, and AMPA is also toxic. So it, it's not an easy. It's a very difficult.
Well, and I think something else that needs to be discussed is that this recent German study, where 18 different cities in Europe, they tested randomly the urine in European people that live in the cities. They're not even in the farmlands, and they all had residual
44%
amounts of glyphosate.
Yeah, 44%. It was really shocking. I was very surprised by that. It's very hard to find any data on the presence in the urine in America. I mean, it's really, Monsanto has done a great job of preventing us from looking at the problem.
Right.
You know, we don't measure it much in the food, so we can't even say if it's in the food. But the fact is, I mean, I have seen striking plots. There's a woman named Nancy Swanson. She's amazing. She's a physicist. She's told me her story. She was getting really sick, practically debilitated, and she started, you know, changing her diet, and then she finally went completely organic. And when she did that, she got well. I mean, within 3 months, she was completely cured of her problems. And then being a physicist, she started looking at statistics, and she's got a wonderful set of plots available on the web in a document that just blows your mind. And I have one of her plots on my website, she's given me permission to show it. It's an exact correspondence between autism and the amount of glyphosate that's been applied to soy and corn over, you know, looking back over the last 20 years.
Right.
It's incredible. I mean, it's a 0.985 Pearson coefficient, correlation coefficient. It's almost a perfect match, those two plots.
Their
percentage of autism in the school system, you know, is measured by the kids that are diagnosed under the autism spectrum in the school system, and the amount of glyphosate being used on these crops. So what's happened is these GMO crops are really a huge problem. We've got GMO corn, GMO soy, GMO canola, GMO cotton, which goes into cottonseed oil.
And that's another worrisome, because even if you're eating organic, but you're wearing cotton-made clothing.
I know, cotton clothing. I start to think I have to start buying used clothing, you know, because it's like you can't, it's ridiculous. It's really scary. And so once it's GMO resistant to Roundup, you can just spray this stuff from the air. You know, you don't even have to. It used to be you had to be careful to only either put it on before you plant the crop and make sure it's gotten, you know, kind of washed out before you plant the crop. I mean, you had to do a lot of shenanigans not to kill the plant.
Right.
Once you've got a plant that's resistant, oh, it's just really scary that you could just let that plant soak it up, you know, and God knows how much is getting into your food. We're not really measuring it. You know, we looked at a 300-page report from the government, federal, the farm, people, what is it called?
USDA?
Yes, okay. Farm, I'm blanking on the name.
Okay.
Anyway, 300-page report and on herbicide usage in this country and looking at different measures of different foods and how much, you know, residue they had. 300-page report, one line on glyphosate. And glyphosate is the most heavily used herbicide in the country.
Well,
it's
but
glyphosate's safe, so we don't need to look at it.
But they want to replace glyphosate with 2,4-D, which is a component of Agent Orange.
Oh, it's so scary. They want to add 2,4-D. They're now putting in GMO resistant to both glyphosate and 2,4-D. 2,4-D, you're right, Agent Orange. It's much worse, and you mix the two together. I cannot imagine the consequences. There's synergy.
What I always keep saying is, doesn't this government understand if they kill us all, they have no money anymore because there's nobody to pay taxes? If we're all sick and dead.
That's what it seems like they're aiming for. You know, I mean, they're making a lot of money on the medical expenses. Two and a half times the rate medical expenses of our peer nations.
And now our federal government is in the business of health care, so they stand to profit from those who get sick. Okay, let's do this. Let's take a break. When we come back, let's talk about this mechanism of action that you've discovered.
Yes, good.
That causes this dysbiosis of the microbiota of the body. We're talking with Dr. Stephanie Seneff. This is really an exciting discussion, I can promise you. The linkage between glyphosate and autism. Could this possibly be the worst offender in the barrage attack on children's immune systems when they're born or while they're still in the womb? Let's not forget that they found glyphosate as one of the 190-plus toxic chemicals in umbilical cord blood recently. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Toothpaste is loaded with toxic chemicals. That's why I use Aura MD. Aura MD is a natural dental care product that is made from botanical oils that promotes healthy oral microbiome while destroying dangerous bacteria that lead to oral health problems. It does not contain fluoride, detergents, surfactants, or any other chemicals. Best of all, it leaves your breath smelling so good, people will comment about it. Right now, you can get a buy one, get one free of Aura MD by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Aura MD banner ad. I won't ever use anything else but Aura MD, and neither should you.
You basically live life thanks to vitamin D. It affects every type of cell and tissue in your body. This is the reason optimizing your vitamin D blood level is essential for healthy living. The most efficient way to optimize your blood level is to take the perfect dose. And the most cost-effective way to determine the perfect dose is through vitamin D blood testing. The vitamin D test for Superhuman Radio is only $30, $17 cheaper than the lowest member price. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad to order.
People who want the best whey protein in the world turn to WhayNaturalUSA.com. Whey Natural USA produces the only whey protein from grass pasture-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. Whey Natural USA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. Just pure grass pasture-fed whey in all its natural glory. Go to WhayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. WhayNaturalUSA.com.
Could Altrient supplements be better than a Myers cocktail? Find out for yourself when you try Altrient C and Altrient ME. Using liposomal encapsulated technology, Altrient C's gel delivers up to 200% more vitamin C than pills or powders. The Altrient ME gel provides a high-performance blend of B vitamins and minerals. Make your own Altrient cocktail 100% risk-free. Call 888-437-6353 or order at feelgoodc.com. That's feelgoodc.com. Use coupon code FREE and ask about a free gift with every order you place. Order today at feelgoodc.com or 888-437-6353. Don't forget to mention coupon code FREE to receive your free gift.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
New from Rob Ragish, author of The Blueprint and SHR's own Blueprint Power Hour, comes The Blueprint Bulletin. Every month, Rob delivers the absolute latest and greatest information right to your inbox. Everything's on the table, including training, diet, supplementation, gray market products, and more. This is a fantastic way to stay one step ahead of your competition and use these secrets to up your game. Go to theblueprintbulletin.com or click the Blueprint Bulletin banner ad on superhumanradio.com to get your free introductory issue. Go to the blueprintbulletin.com today.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. Okay, so I want to get right back into this, Dr. Seneff. So what exactly is the mechanism of action that glyphosate seems to disrupt the microbiota of the stomach?
Yeah, it's very straightforward. I mean, this is the reason Monsanto argues that it's not harmful to us because we don't have the enzyme that it disrupts. And the thing is, all of our gut microbes have this enzyme. Mammals don't. They're right about that. But we depend upon our gut microbes to deliver to us the nutrients that this enzyme provides because we can't make it ourselves.
Mm.
So it's basically a set of amino acids called aromatic amino acids, and there's a pathway that produces them. And glyphosate disrupts that pathway and prevents those amino acids from getting produced in plants and in microbes. So it clobbers the soil bacteria as well, by the way, and it's really messing up the balance there. It's been shown that it will, if you expose a group of bacteria to glyphosate, then the pathogens will overgrow and the good bacteria will get preferentially killed. So it exactly causes the gut dysbiosis problem that you see in autism, an overgrowth of pathogens.
Is there, now when we talk about enzymes, are we talking about something that's found in any of the major cascade systems, like the cytochrome P450 enzyme cascade system that they're citing doesn't exist in, or?
Well, so you mentioned the cytochrome P450 because you know about my paper, and we talked extensively about that. This is another effect of glyphosate that's not this main effect. The main effect is this disruption of an enzyme that is critical to a pathway, so it prevents these amino acids from being made. And these amino acids are incredibly important to us. For example, they're precursors to serotonin, melatonin, dopamine. I mean, so this means you will be deficient in all of those things. Serotonin deficiency is associated with a host of problems, depression, autism, Alzheimer's disease, obesity, which is very interesting, and violent behavior. People who are very violent typically have low serotonin. And serotonin is produced only from an amino acid that is produced on this pathway that gets disrupted by glyphosate. So it's a very straight path.
Okay, so have you presented this paper to colleagues in discussion?
Oh, yes. I presented, in fact, a short talk, a 15-minute talk in front of my all of the professors in my laboratory at MIT. We have a big laboratory there of 1,000 people, and so that was the professors in the lab, maybe 100 people in the audience, where I presented this material to them, and they were quite receptive. So the people in my lab are very supportive of what I'm doing.
And have you gotten any feedback from anyone on the other side of the fence, those who support the use of glyphosate?
You know, it's interesting. So far, I have, I guess, been in safe audiences. I actually have scheduled to present it at multiple places next year. I'm getting a lot of people interested, and I'm presenting it in a couple days on the 23rd here in Hawaii. I'm going over to Oahu to present it to people there in Hawaii is ground central. I don't know if ground zero.
Ground zero for glyphosate.
With respect to glyphosate.
Really?
Yeah,
why is that?
Here in Kauai, where I live, I have a second home here. And I've been really actively involved in the campaign here. There's a bill under consideration, which would help to limit. So what happens is, Kauai is a beautiful, absolutely gorgeous place, you know, and with a lot of people here who are really into nature and who believe in organic and all of this. At the western side of Kauai, there's lands that used to be, pineapple fields, and they've been taken over by the GMO industry. The industry does research on new GMO production. They're
really
developing new GMOs. For example, you know, this 4-H, what is it called, 4-D?
2-4-D.
2-4-D, I got to get that right. They're developing GMOs that are resistant to other, as well as new plants resistant to glyphosate and new resistances of plants that are already resistant to glyphosate. They're doing the research here Kauai. And, of course, people here are very, very upset. So there's a huge momentum behind this campaign to try to get this bill passed, which would just limit their. And they're putting this stuff right next to schools, and kids are getting sick. I mean, it's a horrible story.
Is there a rise in spectrum disorders there as a result of this?
You know, the study hasn't been done, but I attended a meeting where it was said that just about all the kids in the middle school have asthma.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah,
so,
interesting.
And cancer, you know, is an issue, and it's just really disturbing. They're using all kinds of chemicals there because they're trying to develop GMOs against all these different possible herbicides, pesticides, fungicides. I mean, it's just really scary. This whole method of farming has got to stop, you know?
Yeah. It's not going to stop quick enough. We know that. So let's talk about something else.
So glyphosate. You mentioned the cytochrome P450, and that's another piece of the puzzle. Glyphosate has been shown to disrupt cytochrome P450 enzymes, and those enzymes are incredibly important to so many things. There's a particular steroid, sterol homeostasis. So the sterols is like cholesterol, vitamin D, all the sex hormones. These things are all sterols, and they all get messed up when cytochrome P450.
Well, and as does inflammation, and we know that we live in a pro-inflammatory environment.
Yes, well, this
today
induces inflammation because of these things getting messed up. It leads to inflammation, and of course the bacterial overgrowth of the pathogens also leads to inflammation. You have to bring in the war. You have to bring in the macrophages to try to attack the back when the pathogens get loose, you know.
And you know, you make the mention of sun. You talk about the linkage between sunlight and autism. And I think it was yesterday. I haven't read it yet, but a good friend of the show, Adele Musa, who lives in Munster, Germany, posted he sent me an email about getting somebody on the show who just did a study that showed that by altering the microbiota of the stomach, you can actually increase vitamin D production without supplementation. And so when we talk about all of these systems are working hand in hand.
It's so complicated. And we don't realize how much our microbes help us out. I mean, they do an amazing number of things for us.
Yeah.
And if your microbes are messed up, you're sick, you know. I mean, that's what we're seeing.
Well, and that's what my next question is this to you. And I don't suspect that you have the answers, but it's a discussion that we need to start having. So it's not realistic to think that glyphosate is going to go away relatively quickly. So with that being the case, mothers who are expecting or planning to have children need to pay attention to their exposure to this. But
first of all, don't use it on your lawn. That's easy, right? Just avoid it in your life.
But as we see in the European population, you can avoid it all you want. You still come in contact with it. So obviously, organic.
The other thing is don't eat. Yeah, well, go organic. 100% organic is what we're trying to do right now. Of course, it's difficult because, you know, organic foods are not readily available, but we're doing it.
Okay, and, but with that being said, if in fact the baby forms with a deranged microbiotic process in their stomach and in their intestines, is there a way to correct this? I know that there was a physician that I spoke to 5 or 6 years ago who had an autistic child and discovered that supplementing with L-plantarum. What's that? I'm sorry.
Oh, I thought it might be Natasha Campbell McBride because she fit that profile. But
yeah, that's who it was. She gave the child L-plantarum. She discovered that one of the things that these poor children are missing is this particular a coliform called L-plantarum. And when supplementing with that, a lot of the symptoms of children that were just in the developmental stages of developing spectrum disorders just subsided.
She claims that she's reversed the autism in her child. I've heard her speak multiple times. She's really exciting. And she was the first one that got me aware of the problem with gut bacteria in autism many years ago. And so I've been following her work. But she does this whole program where she has a huge following, where you start with a starvation. You know, you sort of put the child on a starvation diet for a few days, actually, I think, with maybe just water. And then you start introducing food slowly, and you never introduce the carbs ever again. They basically have to go into a high fat, eat a lot of eggs, you know, and seafood.
High protein, high fat, almost like a ketogenic diet.
Yeah, and then you can eat green vegetables, but you can't eat, no more corn, soy, cotton. I mean, the cottonseed oil, you know, the canola oil, all the stuff. If you get rid of the short list of things that are GMO, it will help you a lot already, because those are bound to have a lot more glyphosate than the other foods.
But isn't there a way to seed the microbiome of the stomach by introducing
probiotics?
Is that really the only way?
Well, probiotics is something that people have recommended.
Yeah.
You know, eating foods that have live culture. And, of course, that's always been a popular thing in ancient cultures, too. I mean, all the ancient cultures have some kind of a fermented food, you know, multiple kinds of fermented foods in their diet. And I think fermented foods are really healthy. There's yogurt and sauerkraut, you know.
How about just raw milk? You know, raw milk is just loaded with all sorts of good.
It shows you the raw milk versus pasteurization shows you the mentality of the country, which is like kill, kill, kill. You know, the whole concept is to sterilize the world. You know, you use the antibacterial soap. Of course, I completely disagree with this philosophy.
Right.
You pasteurize the milk, you know, and even you zap the food in the microwave. You're killing every microbe inside. And then you wonder why you don't have healthy microbes. You're not getting any resupply of your microbes when you sterilize your food, you know?
Right. No, absolutely. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to pick it up. We're talking with Dr. Stephanie Seneff. We're talking about the linkage between Roundup, or its chemical name glyphosate, and the development of autism. Clearly, there is a link. It's just one of the additional offenders that are affecting young children and their families. So those of you out there need to steer clear as best as possible. And maybe we'll talk about testing when we come back. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio.
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
Summer's almost here. Are you ready to put on your bathing suit and hit the beach? Age Force can help. Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch for 1 month absolutely free. The Advanced 7 Keto and T2 formula with sustained time-release delivery make this the most potent and effective fat loss supplement, period. Try it for 30 days absolutely free and see for yourself. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force banner ad today. What do you have to lose other than body fat? Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch today. Absolutely
absolutely free. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad now.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Could Altrian supplements be better than a Myers cocktail? Find out for yourself when you try Altrian C and Altrian ME. Using liposomal encapsulated technology, Altrian C's gel delivers up to 200% more vitamin C than pills or powders. The Altrian ME gel provides a high-performance blend of B vitamins and minerals. Make your own Altrian cocktail 100% risk-free. Call 888-437-6353 or order at feelgoodc.com. That's feelgoodc.com. Use coupon code FREE and ask about a free gift with every order you place. Order today at feelgoodc.com or 888-437-6353. Don't forget to mention coupon code FREE to receive your free gift.
Usually something for nothing is worth nothing, but go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad to get a one-year Life Extension Foundation membership free, plus a $25 product credit. So what does that buy you? Cutting-edge information, knowledgeable health advisors, huge discounts on blood tests and supplements. Want to stay younger and healthier longer? Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad and become a Life Extension member now. No cost, no obligation, no kidding.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking about how glyphosate, also known as Roundup, which is an herbicide that people use to kill the grass in the cracks of their lawn and weeds in their backyards. They spray it liberally all over the place quite often. This is linked to the development of autism. So what can I just look real cursory review to see if there was a glyphosate blood test out there. I don't see anything. Do you know anything about
this? It's so difficult. We have been struggling. Anthony's my co-author, and he and I have been trying to come up with something because we've gotten people begging us, please test me for, you know, test my food, test my water, test me, my urine, you know, and we have come up short. We've been contacting people. We have not been able to find a place that's willing to test for glyphosate. So it's quite shocking to me.
I just emailed my good friend over at Life Extension Foundation, Dr. Michael Smith, and asked him if they have any plans on offering this test. And I'm going to have a conversation with him, if not today, tomorrow. I would love to see Life Extension get behind this, because this is really important.
If you can find somebody to do it, let me know, because we are eager to get this going. We would love to be able to do this, you know, for people who have needs.
Yeah. I think everybody needs a test, especially if you're an expectant mother or you're a mom if you're planning a family, you better get tested now and do everything you can. So can you get glyphosate out of your system?
I don't know. I mean, I think it will eventually work its way out, but I think it's slow. One of the things very interesting to me is that there's actually very few bacteria that can break it down, and one of them is Pseudomonas, and Pseudomonas is actually becoming a pest. It's a pathogen.
Right.
And its overgrowth in the gut is becoming a serious problem in hospitals. It's one of those drugs that's like the MRSA epidemic. It's one of those bacteria that is resistant, a multi-resistant, drug-resistant bacterium.
Right.
And I suspect the reason why it's so hardy and why it's appearing in such large numbers is because it can break down glyphosate. So it's actually doing a service for you, an important service. But it's producing formaldehyde as a byproduct of glyphosate breakdown. And formaldehyde is a known carcinogen and also a
neurotoxin.
Disruptor.
Yeah.
Neurotoxin and carcinogen. So you either get the glyphosate or you get the formaldehyde. But it's quite possible the formaldehyde is actually less harmful than the glyphosate. That's how bad glyphosate
is.
That's
saying something right there. Holy
yeah.
miracle.
I mean, in my opinion, because glyphosate, I didn't mention this, but I mentioned about sulfate and sulfate deficiency. And in our paper, we talked extensively about multiple ways in which glyphosate disrupts sulfate transport and sulfate synthesis, which is really scary because sulfate is essential for the health of the blood, for example. And people have a lot of problems with hemorrhaging and blood clots, you know, sort of instabilities in the blood that I think may be a direct consequence of the blood having to carry the glyphosate, which is disrupting its ability to carry sulfate.
So would it be wise to supplement with sulfur-bearing type supplements? Like I take GSH,
MSM.
Which is glutathione bonded to sulfate. Yeah.
Right. Uh-huh. And there's MSM and there's chondroitin sulfate.
Right.
And one thing that I do myself and I really recommend is Epsom salt baths. Epsom salts are magnesium sulfate. It's quite cheap. You can buy a big carton of them and just dump some in the bath water. It's very relaxing. And Epsom salt, so magnesium sulfate. So that's giving you both magnesium and sulfate. And the neat thing about it is the sulfate's being delivered through the skin. Because
right.
when you have glyphosate in your gut, it makes it very hard for the gut to transport sulfate from the gut to the liver. This, I think, is a key pathology with glyphosate. So the liver becomes deficient in sulfate unless you find some other way to get it there. And one other way you can get it there is to attach the sulfate to a phenol, a phenolic compound. And, for example, C. difficile is a very nasty pathogen that overgrows in the gut.
Yeah,
yeah,
a lot of elderly people get that when they're in nursing homes. My mom had it 3 or 4 different times.
Yes, exactly. Elderly people are just they're you know obsessed on trying to get rid of C. diff. It's really really annoying. Well, C. diff produces a toxic phenol called p-cresol, which is a nasty molecule, but it can carry sulfate. So I think, again, you look at these pathogens and what are they doing, and often they have some kind of silver lining, which is really interesting to me. This is something I've been looking into. You know, they're there with a purpose that's going to help you out, but they're causing a huge amount of trouble in the meantime because it's not the right way to do it. It's an alternative right. method to save you from dying, but to make you really sick, you know?
So what do you think
so they can carry the sulfate to the liver.
Assuming you're not an expecting mom, what should people do to try, obviously, organic is
yeah.
an absolute, we talk about that all the time.
So,
are there any other things that people should be doing to
sunlight. Sunlight exposure to the skin is a real easy freebie. I highly encourage people to get out in the sun. Skin and eyes. I believe the sun is really healing. And my theory, I have a theory and I've published papers on this, that the skin produces cholesterol sulfate. It produces vitamin D sulfate when stimulated by sunlight, but it also produces cholesterol sulfate. This is known. The skin is a major producer of cholesterol sulfate. Cholesterol sulfate is a really beautiful molecule, and I talk a lot about it in my work. It's a way to transport both cholesterol and sulfate through the blood without problems. Both of them have difficulties getting transported, but both of them are essential to the cell. So it's a transport problem, you know? And you stick those two molecules together, cholesterol and sulfate, and you've made music. They can just sail through the blood, no problem. And so when you get sunlight exposure, your skin produces cholesterol sulfate, and this is going to supply both cholesterol and sulfate to all your tissues. So I think that's the very best way to keep yourself healthy. And it's very clear that people in sunny places have a stronger immune system,
right.
less cancer, you know, less, I mean, autism is very strongly correlated with inadequate sunlight exposure. When you look at the 50 states, I told you that before.
Right.
So don't use sunscreen. Don't be afraid of skin cancer because your body has a natural way to fight skin cancer that's much better than what the chemicals are doing in the sunscreen.
Right. And vitamin D itself. Vitamin D itself.
Well, vitamin D itself is very, very important. And people always think sunlight, vitamin D, but there's more to the story than vitamin D. This
right.
is something I keep emphasizing.
Right.
Cholesterol sulfate, I think, is probably more important than vitamin D.
That's amazing.
And so get out in the sun. And that will help you to deal with any glyphosate that might be in your system because it's very hard to avoid it, you know?
Yeah, it's
and
impossible.
And you don't know how much is there. You
right.
wish you could know in the foods, if the foods could be measured. I mentioned that study, the 200-page report, 300-page report with the one line. The one line was about soy, which was the only food they tested for glyphosate. And they tested 300 samples of soy, and they had something like, I think it was over 90% of the samples tested positive for glyphosate, and over 95% of the samples tested positive for AMPA, which is a breakdown product of glyphosate.
Right.
In other words, it's pretty much all over soy, you know?
Yeah. And all those, I feel bad for those people out there who turn to soy and soy-based products thinking that it's healthier.
I know, thinking they're getting a protein, a cheap protein source that's not meat.
And you know, these products say things like heart healthy, and I mean, it's laughable. It's laughable.
It's black as white. As far as nutrition is concerned, just believe everything they don't say and don't believe anything they say.
That's a good
one. It's almost categorically true. It's amazing how wrong they've gotten.
What would you like to see, this research that you're publishing and you're starting to circulate, the word on? What would you like to see its effect in the marketplace?
I would love it if people would wake up and finally realize they have to go organic and to boycott the processed foods as well. Eat everything whole, you know, whole foods.
Right.
Buy your foods whole and cook them yourself. And you can cook pretty quickly, you know, fresh vegetables, stir-fried. I mean, it's not that hard.
Right.
My husband's a great cook, so I'm very fortunate that way to be able to say that. But, buy grass-fed beef. Seafood's a bit tricky, but seafood is really, really healthy, except, of course, for all the issues with mercury.
Well, now we've got a genetically modified salmon that may get out of the wild and destroy the salmon population.
Oh, that's so scary.
They're
destroying the wild salmon population with the farm salmon.
Well, of course.
I've been reading about that.
But this new genetically modified salmon that has eel and tilefish and all these other variants in it to make it grow faster.
It's horrible.
It's going to get out into the wild, and it's going to destroy the wild salmon as well.
Yeah, well, they're already destroying the wild salmon with the toxins that are being released from the farm salmon sites, apparently, in Canada. I've been reading about that.
Well,
things get released into the waterways, and the salmon die. The wild salmon get sick from it.
Well, you know what's even more even scarier than that? People go out and they buy farmed salmon thinking it's better, but they don't realize that they feed these salmon kibble that's made of soy and corn. Well,
yeah,
they don't have
highly GMO.
Well, they don't not only that, but they don't have the preferential omega-6 to omega-3 ratio
any longer.
It's the
wrong diet. It's the wrong diet. Yeah, so we always buy wild salmon.
Yeah.
And of course salmon's a very healthy food, so it's frustrating that it's becoming more and more difficult. But if people put on the demand for whole foods and organic foods, this will put pressure on the farmers. I mean, nothing works better than commercial pressure. So I think it's up to the individual to become convinced that they need to go organic and then to walk the walk, talk the talk. I mean, really tell their friends, buy the organic foods, put pressure on the farmers to grow organic, and farmers will start switching, I think, because they'll be making, you know, they can charge more for it. It'll be worth their effort.
Well, but it's not even more expensive, because If you do business with a family farm, you find the farmer's market, and you start building these relationships, you don't have to pay very much more.
I love the farmer's market because that goes directly from the farm to the consumer, and that cuts out the middleman, which will save money. Processed food, you spend a lot of money on all the processing and the packaging, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Not getting your money's worth, and it's incredibly deficient in nutrients. So then you end up with, once you have all these nutritional deficiencies, that's another thing I didn't mention about glyphosate, it chelates important micronutrients that are already, well, because they're chelated in the food that's grown in the presence of glyphosate, like these GMO crops, they are insufficient in those things like zinc and cobalt. These are really important for certain enzymes in the body. Severely depleted in the foods, and of course then they get chelated in the gut if you've got glyphosate there, so it's a double hit.
Yeah. We're going to take our last commercial break. When we come back, you know what I'd like to talk about? There's a link on your page about a former Monsanto employee who is now in charge of genetically modified organism papers at the journal level.
Right.
I want to just chat about that when we come back. We're talking with Dr. Stephanie Seneff. We're talking about the linkage between Roundup, also called glyphosate as a chemical, this herbicide that is out there, probably some of it's in your garage, and autism. And this is scary stuff, and it's important to pay attention to it. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest protein bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizol, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizol works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where
line of supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
You train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometime pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocreme. Kinetocreme is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocreme.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rub Kinetocreme on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away, not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetocreme by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetocreme. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating. But you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides. People who want the best whey protein in the world turn to WhayNaturalUSA.com. WhayNaturalUSA produces the only whey protein from grass pasture-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. WhayNaturalUSA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. Just pure grass pasture-fed whey in all its natural glory. Go to WhayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. WhayNaturalUSA.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. You know, pretty soon all we will have to go by in these types of situations is our critical thinking skills.
I think so.
A former Monsanto employee has been put in charge of what papers on genetically modified organisms get selected or not selected for publication in the Journal of Food and Chemical Toxicology. This is shocking to me.
Right. And this is an interesting story because Seralini is the author of the paper on rats that showed that, I read that paper, was amazing. They get fed them, GMO foods and Roundup foods that were exposed to
right.
Roundup
BT corn and Roundup Ready corn. So it wasn't just the Roundup that was doing it. It was organisms inherently in the corn that's been genetically modified.
As well as the Roundup, and all of it gave the rats a hard time, and they ended up with massive mammary tumors and liver cancer and kidney failure. I mean, they died young. I mean, these rats really suffered under this exposure, and that article was published in this journal, and then a couple months later, and first of all, Seralini was lambasted. I mean, they went after him like you wouldn't believe and just tried to discredit his paper.
Well, you know what I loved the best of that one whole thing, Dr. Seneff, was the mainstream media said, well, these are rats that are predisposed to develop cancer. So people went, oh, okay, so in other words, they develop cancer at a drop of a hat. Yes, exactly. That's why they use them for cancer research. They use this for all cancer research, that particular.
Exactly.
They not just for this. They use that, and oncologists turn to papers that these types of transgenic rats are used exclusively, and they go, oh, this chemotherapy works, or this is
right,
onco-producing drug here.
But the fact is they were comparing them against the ones who weren't exposed to those foods, who weren't getting nearly as sick. So it was very clear.
Right.
The foods were the problem. It was a well-done study. Of course, Monsanto's after me, too. I mean, you can find plenty of discrediting of my work. I published in the journal Entropy. It's a very good journal with a very with an excellent review process. I went through two rounds of review with three reviewers, and there were a lot of comments. They were really fantastic, and it made it a much better paper after that review process. It's an open-access journal, and I think open-access is the path to take. In fact, the last line, if I have this up here, this article that I linked to. The last line, if journals fail to reform, scientists who carry out public interest research may need to create an alternative publication model, public peer review, or open source science.
I like that.
And this is what's happening. I have made a personal decision to never publish again in a journal that's not open source. Open access. Open access journal, which is that nobody, people don't have to pay to read the paper. I think it's outrageous that the journals are charging $40 to read one paper, which is what they're doing.
Right.
You know?
Well, you know, and the other thing that you have to ask yourself is, okay, so when you have science that contradicts itself, right? So you have one group saying this, and you have one group saying that. You always have to look for, well, who benefits from lying about this, right? So
right.
do we benefit? About,
I mean, I don't have any special
right.
interests.
I just have
a special interest in autism and the health of our nation.
Right. You don't. how does Dr. Seneff? How do people who are opposed to these GM crops and these pesticides and herbicides? How do they profit from them being eradicated from the marketplace? They don't. I'll tell you how they benefit, and that is they're interested in health. Right now look at the other group. How do they? Well, they profit because they sell more product. They make more money by getting their science out there versus the other science. You always just have to look at who's
of course
making
the money
here.
But Monsanto really is very good at controlling the journals that they then claim are reputable. So they basically play a game of, if you didn't publish in one of the journals that we're watching out for, making sure that nothing gets published in, then the journal you published in has to be discredited, you know? They're using this technique of attacking the journal as not being reputable, which is not true with respect
well,
to...
Well, Monsanto is good at controlling everything. They're controlling our government at this point in time. This current administration,
I
and I don't... Look, I Democrat, Republican, I don't trust any of them. They're all. I have a sticker on the back of my car that says, not fooled by the government. It doesn't say not fooled by Republicans or not fooled by Democrats. Once they get into that Capitol Hill gang there, they're all out just to protect their own little fiefdom.
Well, you know, the industries have plenty of money to spend, and there's only a few people they have to lobby, which is those key people who control the government. And they are very, very successful at lobbying those individuals to get them basically in their back pocket. I mean, I don't think the government can possibly solve this problem. They're just too embedded with the industry.
But Dr. Seneff, I don't expect the government to solve this problem. But I also don't
they
expect
should be
the
ones who should solve it. They're the ones who should care.
But what they're doing is the exact opposite. They're promoting it. More genetically modified crops have been approved in the past 8 years than the previous 30 years.
I don't know what it'll take. I mean, I'm expecting, at the rate at which autism has gone up in the last 5 or 6 years, we can expect half the kids in the country to have autism by the quarter century mark. It's not going to be pretty, you know? I mean, at some point, we're going to wake up and realize we can't keep doing this. I don't know when that point is going to be. We always keep trying to argue, oh, well, we're just, you know, we're detecting it more. It's not really true. I mean, we're in a major denial mode right now. And any parent who has a child with autism really cares about this, you know? And we're going to have more and more parents in that situation. And eventually, there's going to be a tipping point.
I was just going to say that.
The individual cannot put up with it.
There's a point of no return. And what happens is when individual family funds are exhausted after the parents are gone, and individual family funds are exhausted caring for this person who is now elderly.
I know.
And this person has not contributed any money. Then the government's going to go, wait a minute, we don't have enough people making money to pay taxes, so we have to spend more than we make. How are we going to do that? Then that's when they're going to go, oh, we better fix this.
The pressures are going to be amazing because we've also got all the elderly getting Alzheimer's disease, and I think that's the same story.
Well, and let's not forget the obesogenic nature of this country. We expect 50% of the population to be obese.
And that's also related to this product produces obesity. In fact, the obesity epidemic began when glyphosate was introduced into the food chain, 1975. You can see a sharp corner. It started skyrocketing right when glyphosate was introduced.
Yeah. Well, again, I think that obesity is another one of those perfect storms. But the bottom line is this. There's going to be a very, very short period of time where the number of people who are able-bodied and functioning, who can produce taxes to pay for this country, is going to be a small percentage, and the rest of the people are going to be on the wagon looking for help. And that's when
the ones who can work are going to be spending all their time taking care of the ones who are sick.
Yeah, and you know what? And there's a lot of us who are thinking about leaving the country. I've never thought about leaving the country. My grandparents came from Italy to come to this country. And for the first time, I'm probably the first person in our family, this generation, I'm thinking, right. You know, maybe I shouldn't stay because this is a train wreck. I'm watching it, and I'm thinking, do I want to stay on the train or do I want to get off?
I'm feeling the same way, and I mean, I go many generations back here, and it just breaks my heart to see what's happening to this country.
Yeah, it's very, very sad. Well, listen, Dr. Seneff, I appreciate your hard work. You're always out there in search of the truth. I commend you for this, and I hope
Thank you.
More and more people take this seriously. That's all I can say.
I hope so, too. I mean, if people can just... individuals can make a difference. Everybody who gets this message needs to get it out to their friends, to everybody they know.
And we vote with our dollars. If we stop buying things
that
are doused in Roundup, they will do just like they did with the RBH, with the growth hormone company. They spun it off.
We have power. The consumer has a lot of power.
Yeah, it's called the dollar bill.
It.
You vote with your dollars.
That's right.
If you get it out there that you're not buying anything that has Roundup on it, and you'll see how fast Monsanto will change it. So anyway.
I think so. I hope so.
Okay, listen, thanks.
We have to have hope.
Yes, that's all
thank
we have.
Thank you for...
Thanks, Dr. Seneff.
Thank
Take
you for
care.
Everything. All right. Bye-bye.
All right, so there you go. Perfect ending to a good show. Also, thanks to Brooks Kubik. There will be part two, part three, and now part four of the Building Mass, the Dinosaur Way. In the meantime, visit brookskubik.com, K-U-B-I-K. We'll see you tomorrow with Casual Friday. Thanks for listening.
To the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.